Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, April 7th, 2019. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. Pastor Wendy's message this morning is The Gift of Failure. The Psalm of Lament today is Psalm chapter 44, verses 20 through 26, and the New Testament lesson is Matthew 14, verses 22 and 23.
Our New Testament lesson is one of the times when we see Peter. This comes from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately he, that meaning Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Here ends the reading. Please join me in a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, our guide and guardian, open our hearts and minds and souls to your wisdom. Keep us from our preconceived notions to help us know your will and hear you freshly and clearly today. Amen. Many classic works of literature started with different working titles. So you get a quiz this morning. Do you know which classic work of literature was originally titled First Impressions? It's a Jane Austen novel. First Impressions might be Pride and Prejudice, right? What about Trimalchio in West Egg? West Egg? F. Scott Fitzgerald, The Great Gatsby. The Great Gatsby. Let's see. All's Well That Ends Well. Leo Tolstoy. We know it now as War and Peace. Right? Something That Happened by John Steinbeck eventually became Something That Happened. How's that for a title? Something That Happened. Became Of Mice and Men. Of Mice and Men. Last one. Mules in Horses' Harness. By Margaret Mitchell. Historical Romance. Gone with the Wind. Gone with the Wind. Scripture also gets titled sometimes. And this isn't true in the original scripture, but sometimes you flip open your Bible and there's like a little italic in front of a section that will say things like the Ten Commandments or the Beatitudes. And so today's scripture usually gets titled Peter Walks on Water. But I'm not sure that's the right title, or certainly the only title for this story. So let's look at this text a little deeper. So I'm just going to kind of go through line by line. We'll pick it apart a little. So it starts with this. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side. So some context. Immediately before this, well, immediately, Jesus had been feeding the 5,000. So they were on the shore of the lake of the Sea of Galilee, and there were lots of people there. And Jesus made the disciples leave his side and go somewhere else. Now, disciples tend to be followers. Usually they're following Jesus around, but here's a time where they needed to listen to what Jesus said, but not go where Jesus went. Interesting, this word, Jesus made the disciples go. It's like he compelled them to go. It's like he pushed them away, and he said, get in the boat and go to the other side. What I want us to notice is that they were being sent out onto the Sea of Galilee purposefully. And then he dismissed the crowds, and Jesus went up to the mountain by himself to pray, so that when evening came, he was there alone. Now, while Jesus is off praying, the disciples are in the boat. And they've been in the boat for a while. And they've been there with each other, but without Jesus being physically present with them. Evening, let's say 10 or 11 p.m., it's kind of dark. And by this time, at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, the boat was being battered by the waves and was far from the land, and the wind was against them. The writing here is almost like being in a war, right? You're being battered, you're being beaten up, an antagonism, right? The wind is against them. The wind is their foe. Okay, Jesus sent them out onto the water, sent them out to a place where the waves are going up and down, and when the wind is beating against the boat, does this mean that Jesus intentionally and purposefully sent the disciples into danger? On purpose? Is that what God wants for us? But I would point out that the disciples are not actually in danger yet. They're being battered, and the waves are going, and things are highly uncertain. But at this point, they're not at the edge of death. It is indeed a time of chaos. For when you see ocean imagery and water imagery like this, the biblical reader would have understood that always means chaos and the power of disorder. And so in the middle of disorder and chaos and confusion, early in the morning, which in Bible times means 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., so they've already been on the ocean on the sea for hours, being battered by the waves, and say 4 o'clock in the morning, having not slept for very many hours, they see a figure walking on the water. This figure is not affected by the waves and the upheaval. But rather than recognizing that this is Jesus, their first response is to cringe and to step away in fear. Part of me wants to say, come on, you guys, it's Jesus. But then, have you ever been in those times when things have felt so chaotic and one more bad thing pops up and one more bad thing pops up, and so you just know that the next thing that pops up is going to be bad? Because you're already sort of so closed off and in that frightened and edgy space. That's the kind of space those disciples were in. And so, of course, the next thing that they see, they expect, that's no help for us either. And they're freaking out. Here's the other thing I want us to slow down and notice. That when Jesus appears on the scene, Jesus appears in the middle of the chaos. Just right when he shows up, do the waves stop? No. Is the wind still blowing? Yes. So Jesus appears, God shows up, And everything does not get instantaneously better. This whole theme of gifts of the dark woods is remembering and noticing in Scripture and who God is, that Jesus shows up in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the darkness, in the middle of the fear, and in the middle of the uncertainty. And Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I." This "it is I" is probably better translated, "I am." Have you heard that before? I am who I am. This is God's name. So Jesus shows up and says, "Take heart, I am." And so again, in the middle of the chaos, God is there. And what is his word of reassurance? What always the angels and messengers say, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. And even when he says, "Do not be afraid," the wind and the waves are still continuing. And then Peter says, "If it's you, Lord, then tell me to come out on the water." And so then Peter does. Peter steps out of the boat with this not being afraid. And then all of a sudden he notices, oh, the wind and the chaos is still here, and he starts to sink. So yeah, Peter does take a few steps. But I have to say that as far as walking on water goes, Peter failed at that. Who's the one who's walking on the water? Jesus. So the hero of this story and the miracle of the story is not that Peter walks on water. The hero of the story is Jesus walks on the water. Because Peter's human, like the rest of us. But Jesus is God. Jesus is the one who walks on water. Jesus is the one who conquers uncertainty. Jesus is the one whom darkness can never overcome. And so I wonder if a better title of this story is, "Peter fails, Jesus saves." Today's gift is the gift of failure. And Eric Elms, in his book, Gifts of the Dark Wood, writes this: "Could it be that right failure is more important than right belief?" What if we look at this story, the story of Peter failing, and see how Jesus recognizes and values our human failures, our uncertainties, and even our indecisiveness and inconsistencies. Elms points out some humor in the story, because isn't it likely that a bunch of these male disciples would start teasing Peter after this incident? "Hey, Peter, you're the rock. You really sank that time." And indeed, Peter goes on to fail, not just at walking on water, but he fails spectacularly at Holy Week. It's Peter who was the very disciple on the night of Jesus' arrest, denies any connection with Jesus. He had said to Jesus, "No, I'm standing to you to the end." And then somebody comes up and goes, "You look like you're from Nazareth." He's like, "Mommy, you must have mistaken me for somebody else." And then the cock crows, and Peter weeps bitterly. He knows he's made a mistake. He knows he has failed the one who he so longs to follow. Yes, Peter fails. And yes, Jesus saves. For even after Peter's failure, Jesus continues to the cross. Peter's failure does not stop Jesus' journey to the cross, to crucifixion, to death, and then to resurrection. But then we might also remember that it is this Peter, the one who struggles, the one who denied, who then gets named as the leader of God's kingdom. Remember, too, it is Jesus who looked Peter in the eye and renames him, saying, "You used to be called Simon, but I name you Petrus, Peter, the rock, and on this rock I will build my church." Huh? Jesus wants to build on a sinking rock like Peter? Yes. Because after the death and resurrection, here's what Peter ends up sounding like. If we jump ahead to Acts, we hear Peter being able to preach, and he is on fire. He says to the crowds, "This man, Jesus, handed over to you according to the definite plan and forethought of God, you," meaning you, humanity, "crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised Jesus up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible to be held in its power." And the people ask, "Well, then, what do we do? What do we do with our failures?" And Peter says this: "Repent, be baptized, each and one of you, so that your sins are forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I believe that Peter preaches with such passion and eloquence, not because he's been the hero all along, but because he has known and experienced failure. Humans fail. Jesus is the one who saves. Peter fails, yet God's purposes go forward. So yes, it's kind of countercultural to celebrate and build upon failure, to have as a model of a disciple a sinking rock like Peter. But the benefit of looking at human failure is that it keeps our awareness not on fallible humans, but on God. Going back to the scripture for today, at the end of the story, after Peter has failed, after Jesus has reached out the hand and saved him, Jesus and Peter together enter into the boat. It's only then, after Jesus has already done the saving, that the wind ceases. And the response of those who are all in the boat is to worship Jesus, to say, "Whoa, Jesus is something different. And truly, Jesus is the Son of God." They're not even focusing on Peter. They're not focusing on Peter's failure. They're not focusing on Peter's couple steps where he looks like he's doing something. Their attention is where it needs to be, on Jesus. The gift of failure is this, that it demonstrates that it is at those very moments when we and our human frailty feel most lost, most fragile, when we are the ones sinking in chaos and desperately cry out, "Lord, save me," it's at those moments that we encounter the transformational, saving, rescuing love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the great I Am, and where we know indeed that the title of the story is, "Humans Fail, Jesus Saves." Thanks be to God.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.